What I'm wanting is truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I was driving by a church this morning, Bob.
Yeah.
And they, on their marquee outside the church, it said, United in Christ and United in Orange.
Oh, God. That,
I'm serious.
That's a little too much.
I can't make that up. It's on a church on Hampton down by Cherry Hills.
Well, on today's show, we are going to talk about Peyton Manning because of the excerpt in the book he wrote with his father about his conversion, the altar call.
Yeah.
Then he went up to, and really neat, neat things that he said. He doesn't wear his
Christianity on his sleeve, a la Tim Tebow.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't do that, but and that's okay. I mean, we're all different.
I know. You tend to do that sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get to that excerpt. It's really great. Also, the Wild Goose case, big update.
Yeah, we're going to get an update on that.
Big update where the Denver DA went after our dear pro-life friends, Tony Massey and Joe Scott, for this make-believe chase of a pro-abort woman related to the abortion mill Planned Parenthood in Denver. Then there's the first forced abortion in Texas.
Right, the first documented forced abortion in the state of Texas.
We'll get to that, tragically. And so what else do we have?
Well, I just, you know, the Peyton Manning's got a lot of motivation to win this game. You know, there was a computer simulator program, prediction machine, and their predictilator. It predicted before the season started that the Super Bowl would be the Broncos versus, who's the other team?
The Seahawks.
That this computer program predicted it, and now it's predicted that Seattle will win.
Now, you know, Freakonomics, you've heard of them?
Well, yeah, Freakonomics.
They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago, they did a show on predictions.
Yeah.
And it was all kinds of predictions, like the folks who made the most uncanny predictions about stock market crashes.
Right.
And they analyzed the rest of their predictions, and they're all lousy.
Yeah.
All kinds of predictions on sports and politics from people who get paid a fortune to make predictions.
Yeah.
Then there's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They predict to the farmers. They go to the almanac, and then they survey fields. They will do a dozen updates during the course of one season to survey the condition of the soil and all.
Yeah.
So they make these predictions, and for the most part, they're worthless. And so this, too, you know, I did software simulation for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. It's of course, it's meaningless.
It's meaningless. Okay, so Peyton doesn't have to worry about that.
But you do want the Seahawks to win.
Well,
why is that?
I don't want the Seahawks to win. I want John Elway and John Fox to lose.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that Peyton happens to be associated with them at this time in history. It's just a sad convergence of events.
But and you know what? It's neat that it is between two quarterbacks who both are Christians.
That's right. They both proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that is. And I don't know much about the Seahawks quarterback. What's his Russell?
Russell Wilson.
Except I've read his tattoos on his arm when they zoom in close.
Yeah, he's got tattoos,
like when they play the 49ers.
Yeah.
It's just all over the place.
Russell Wilson, isn't that two brands of sporting gear? Russell and Wilson.
It's the very definition of wearing your religion on your sleeve.
All right, before we get to the sports, let's go to line 16. We have an update on the wild goose chase from Joe Scott.
All right. Hey, Joe, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live with Bob and Doug.
Hi.
Joe, the DA in Denver has been going after you and Tony Massey since what, last summer?
Since
last March.
Oh, since March, almost a year.
Yeah.
And they claimed, with no evidence, one lying wife of a Planned Parenthood security guard, that you, driving your van with Tony as a passenger, chased her through Denver for like 20 minutes.
That's right.
Completely fabricated. So what's the update?
Completely. The update is all charges were dropped at court yesterday before the trial started. I was scheduled for trial yesterday.
Wow.
And they dropped the charges when we walked in.
Wow.
And they said, why did they drop the charges?
Well, because this DA didn't have, could not prosecute the case to get a guilty verdict. He didn't have enough evidence.
Well, Well, now, wait a minute. I dispute that.
You do.
If he would have prosecuted this case, and then he's standing before God on Judgment Day, he's going to be found guilty.
There's
plenty of evidence that he's just persecuting, not prosecuting. Persecuting
That's exactly what it is.
Christians who are trying to save babies from being dismembered by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
There's plenty of evidence to get a guilty conviction.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's what he said, huh, Joey? You know, what did now the woman who accused you was Krista Pryor. Poor Tony. Right. I mean, Tony wasn't driving anything. He's just an innocent
passenger. I didn't kidnap him, you know?
and he's charged with this crime. And I don't know. Her name is Krista Pryor, right?
Yes.
Krista Pryor, okay.
And her husband is the security guard at Planned Parenthood, Jim Pryor.
One of those, yeah.
P-R-Y-O-R.
Yeah.
And so, Joe, what, I guess she wanted aliens to testify and they wouldn't swear them in because...
They wouldn't swear them in because they couldn't pass the DNA test.
Yeah.
Their antennas kept popping up.
Yeah, they didn't have any witnesses and it wasn't true. And you had a slew of witnesses to guys did when you left the abortion mill.
That's right.
Well, absolutely. Yes, and I'm sure you had plenty of people ready to testify that if Joe Scott tries to chase someone, she would catch him. So this can't be true.
I don't know. I'm not that great a driver, but I'm glad I could.
So the wild goose case has come to an end.
Yes.
Yeah, the wild goose has been cooked. I'll tell you. It's over. The DA, though, I mean, he tried to get a restraining order on us in Arapahoe County.
Yeah. Right.
And so there... She represented herself. I represented myself, and she had to. No, I didn't represent myself. Sorry, my lawyer was there.
Right.
And she testified, and during her testimony, she changed her story yet another time. She changed her story from the original police report, from the 911 call.
Yeah, and Joe, the changes, if you recall, when you and Ken and Tony Massey, Ken, your husband, Ken Scott, when you guys got the 911 call, I remember we all got together, we listened to it, we created a transcript of it.
Yes, we did.
And the contradiction of her written report that she gave to the police was so dramatic as compared to the actual live 911 call when she's calling in saying, I'm being chased, right?
Yes.
I mean,
and then laughing.
Yeah, and laughing and chuckling. Yeah. And then they end up saying, the police... We're chasing you guys, and you guys got away from the cop cars, and she was, and the 911 operator told her to swerve in and out of traffic without using her turn signal, so she could lose you guys, and it's all like it's like Cops and Robbers on cartoon or something.
You know what was so cool was in Arapahoe County at that restraining order trial. She was asked the question, what did you tell the 911 operator? And so she went through her elaborated story with all the extra stuff that she said the 911 operator told her to do.
Right.
And then the next thing was played in the courtroom was that 911 tape.
The call itself.
At which point, shouldn't she be arrested at that point?
I would think.
You can't do that.
Well, Tony Massey has put in a motion with the court. This was just before... The case was dismissed.
Just before court yesterday.
And Doug, I don't know if you've read this motion. It's so fun. It's a motion for the court to order the arrest of Krista Pryor and Jim Pryor for false reporting and a slew of crimes.
Yeah, of course. It seems
And the judge, rather than just dismissing it, he gave the DA 10 days to respond to the motion.
Oh, boy.
Because
I saw the judge when he got the motion, and he almost smiled.
So this wild goose case may not be completely over.
Well,
may just move into phase two
we'll find out.
Direction.
And
I think
Tony's become quite an attorney through this.
Yeah.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know what I would have done without him. He's done such a terrific job.
Yeah, and I think he should consider filing a Freedom of Information request with the Denver DA. How much did this prosecution cost?
Yes.
With the jail, the Denver City Jail.
Yeah.
Because you guys both spent a day in jail, right, Joe?
Yeah, we did.
and with the police, because the police said we won't even take the complaint. That's how baseless the police said it was at the beginning.
Wow.
But the political powers in Denver insisted, and eventually the police ended up wasting money on this.
Yep.
So what did it cost for the city of Denver to persecute Christians, and what fools the Denver DA's office looks like?
Amen.
I was almost, not that I would rather go to trial, but I was almost sad that I didn't go to trial because I really wanted all of it to come out.
Yeah,
that would have been fun. Know, that's probably why they dropped it. They didn't want the embarrassment.
And I think it largely did come out, though, because of the restraining order hearing in Arapahoe County. But, Joe, so the DA said sort of publicly, we can't get a conviction.
Right.
Right? A guilty conviction. Right. But was that his real reason?
No. Off the record, he couldn't win the case because Krista...
What do you mean off the record?
Off the record to my attorney.
Oh.
Said Krista changed her story too many times.
Oh. Right. And how many witnesses did they have against you guys?
Her. That was it.
One. A delusional woman. And Doug, not only is she a child killer and, you know, complicit in promoting child killing, but she's a criminal.
Yeah.
Yes.
How much money did Joe, she's on probation for what, 8 years?
Yeah, I'm trying to appeal it. She stole $42,000 from the center plate up in Blackhawk or Central City. I'm not sure.
It's over $40,000. She embezzled or took out of a safe? How did she get it? Do you know?
I think she worked for them, and she had keys to the safe.
An inside job, that type of thing.
An inside job,
And Doug, there's other criminal behavior in her past. So she's a criminal. They're child killers, and child killers lie. Shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, if you're willing to do that.
Joe Scott, congratulations, Joe. Maybe you and Tony could come in when you guys both, it works into your schedule, and we'll talk through
the
details.
Since you've got some free time this week now.
Come on down.
Come on down.
I do have some free time. Right. Will come in.
Well, that'd be great.
Bob, it is so pathetic that people like that are looking for attention in such terrible ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and Planned Parenthood, I wonder if they bear any responsibility, because they provided all the bogus video and all that stuff. So, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe Scott. God bless you.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless,
Joe. God bless you.
Congratulations.
They do bear ultimate responsibility.
Yeah, they do. Planned Parenthood. Yeah, right.
Well,
okay.
It kind of makes all this football talk seem, you know.
Well, not the talk about the Lord. That's always.
There we go.
That's always great. So do we want to go to that?
Do we want to go to that? Now, I already talked about the computer simulation. You say, don't worry about that, baby.
Yeah, right.
But what about the tax bill?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about motivations for Peyton Manning to win. If he loses, he has to pay money to play the Super Bowl. He has to pay New Jersey
because
to come
New
and play.
Because New Jersey, it's a criminal enterprise,
unbelievable tax rate.
America is an insane asylum run by the criminally insane.
Yes.
So because the Broncos are playing there for a week, they have to pay
state income tax.
Exorbitant taxes.
Yeah.
To where in Peyton Manning's case, it doesn't have to do with how much he made while he was there.
No.
It has to do with what he earns for the year.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And so he could end up paying more than he makes in his bonus for playing the
I know.
Well, winning now, the Super Bowl.
If he wins the game, they only take 51%. If he loses the game and plays in New Jersey again next year, they take 101%. So he has to pay 1% for the privilege.
101%. Income tax.
For the privilege.
To play in New Jersey for a week.
Right.
That's only state taxes.
And that doesn't account for federal taxes either.
It's not. It doesn't account for the tolls.
There's
the New Jersey
too.
Turnpike.
Yeah, oh, man.
Right? The
all for the privilege of dismantling the hapless Seahawks.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see about that.
Oh, and then there was that.
I don't want to make any
See, I was busy, Doug. I went to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then I had to travel. You helped out, and our friends helped out with the show. But that whole thing with Sherman and the Seahawks.
Oh, that's the one thing I wanted to say. If Peyton Manning does not want to pay this exorbitant tax, he better not throw the ball anywhere near Sherman. Richard Sherman, is that his name?
Yeah.
Don't throw near that guy.
Well,
because he's fired up.
He is fired
up. He has taken a lot of flack.
But We have three boys who play hockey,
right?
Travel hockey. One was in a national tournament this week, Silver Stick.
Oh yeah,
up in Port Huron, Michigan, and Canada.
So were there college
amazing.
Scouts? Were there scouts there? How did he look? How did Michael look?
Well, I'm biased.
Well, yeah.
Ask somebody else. He was fabulous.
He was fabulous.
Right. Ask somebody else.
Well, I'll ask one of the scouts. That's their opinion is what matters.
Yeah, but if somebody, it's just so despicable to say, forget about putting somebody else down.
Right.
To puff yourself up. I am the greatest cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah.
That is so embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, he did come out this week and say he was embarrassed. He's sorry. He wrote a column, apparently, on a website apologizing, saying I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's really good that he realizes that was.
Yeah.
So you should never have to push other people down.
You know, the people say, well, you have to understand it's in the heat of the moment. No, you don't have to understand. That has nothing to do with it. When that's what's in you, what's coming. The Bible says what's in you comes out of you.
That's right. Especially in the stressful moments, right?
Yeah. So as a pastor, you know, sometimes I see people who are dying in the hospital.
Right.
And for many people, as they're dying, they lose their inhibitions and they become vulgar and hateful.
Wow.
Now, I don't mean most people, but that is common.
Wow.
And so when we ask God to cleanse us from the inside out, Lord, make me like you.
Mm.
Help me be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Right.
All of us, eventually, it all comes down to what's really inside of us. And for some people, sooner than later. Peyton Manning isn't going to go on the sideline after the game and say, I am the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
I don't see that happening with Peyton.
And Wilson is an idiot.
No.
So it's not the heat of the moment. That's just making an excuse for bad behavior.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right. And we're thankful that Sherman has admitted his bad behavior.
Yeah.
And we hope that that Peyton doesn't throw the ball within 10 yards of the guy.
Yeah.
That's all.
If he blows it.
Oh.
Imagine if Sherman blows it.
Yeah.
How embarrassing that will be.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting.
That's why they play the game. Just because the computer simulation already has it figured out.
All right.
24-21.
So Peyton Manning wrote a book with his dad, Archie Manning.
Yes, legendary NFL guy.
Called Manning.
Yeah.
And I'd like to share an excerpt with you. Many people know this. Not everyone in our audience, especially people out of Colorado, will know. But all our Indiana friends.
Everyone in Indiana already knows this.
They know this.
But they want to hear it again.
Yeah. So here's Peyton Manning in his book, and it's pages, whatever, 362.
Yeah.
Okay. When I speak to groups to talk about priorities, when it's school kids, I rank those priorities as faith, family, and education, then football.
Mm.
For me, generally, it had always been the big four, faith, and by that he means Jesus Christ, trusting
does.
In Jesus Christ, God.
Yeah.
For me, generally, it has always been the big four, faith, family, friends, and football. And I tell all of them that as important as football is to me, it can never be higher than fourth.
Wow.
I like
that's pretty good. That's good priorities. Probably why he's done so well.
The Lord is first.
That's right.
Think of all the sports guys who have self-destructed because of their immorality and disrespect.
Countless. You can't even keep track of how many.
My faith has been number one since I was 13 years old and heard from the pulpit on a Sunday morning in New Orleans a simple question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?
Hmm.
Then he mentions his brothers. Cooper was there, and Eli, but it didn't hit them at the time the way it hit me. So he's not saying that eventually they didn't think about the Lord.
No.
He's saying, but at that moment.
He was 13.
It hit me. It was a big church, and I felt very small, but my heart was pounding. The minister invited those who would like that assurance through Jesus Christ to raise their hands.
Wow.
And I did. Then he invited us to come forward, to take a stand. And my heart really started pounding.
Yeah.
From where we sat, it looked like a mile to the front.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
But I got up and did it. And I committed my life to Christ. And that faith has been most important to me ever since. Some players get more vocal about it. the Reggie Whites, for example. Now, he wrote this before the Tebow phenomenon.
Right, okay, yeah. But right? Reggie White was the most vocal Christian
Reggie
back then.
White, sort of a friend of Bob and Yurt Live, actually his wife Sarah.
She sent us.
She was somewhere around here. We have a Reggie White doll.
That's right.
And, you know, he was so great. He got canned as an announcer.
Because he was against deviance and perversion.
Yeah, he said homosexuality is sinful. It's sexual. It's perverse.
Yeah, Reverend Reggie White said that, and everyone was shocked.
Yeah, and so he, you know, fabulous, famous NFL football player.
Great guy.
Player.
He's with the Lord now, looking down
He's
on
with
all
the
this.
Lord. Yeah. And so his wife, Sarah, was then, Sarah White, was being interviewed on national TV. I don't know if you remember this.
I remember, of course.
And they said, Sarah, why did, you know, NBC or whoever it was, why did they fire your husband? And she said, because they caved to the sodomite.
Oh, yeah.
What did she call it?
The sodomite lobby agenda?
Because they caved to the sodomite agenda.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
Oh, she didn't mince any words.
She became like my favorite wife of a professional sportsman.
Yes. It caused us to even root for the Packers back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So some players get more vocal about it, the Reggie Whites, for example, and some point to heaven after scoring a touchdown and praise God after games. I have no problem with that. And that's fine. Of course not.
Different people have different ways of communicating.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
But he says, but I don't do that. I want my actions to speak louder, and I don't want to be more of a target for criticism than I already am. Mm. So I don't, you know, whatever. Okay. Sometimes, he says, somebody sees you drinking a beer, which I do, and they think, Peyton says he's this, that, or the other, and there he is drinking alcohol. What's that all about? Mm-hmm. And so he says, Christians drink beer. So do non-Christians. Christians also make mistakes, just as non-Christians do. Now, most sins are not mistakes.
No, they're not mistakes.
No. A mistake is like forgetting to put out the salad fork.
Yeah, that's
when you set the table. Mm-hmm. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
When people say, I'm human, we all make mistakes, usually they mean, I'm filthy, I'm unfaithful, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm a murderer.
So I can't recall ever sinning by mistake.
Doesn't God say, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make mistakes?
No, I don't think
so. Doesn't he say that?
No, but later, the Apostle Paul does give us a hint about God's mercy when he says sin is missing the mark. Oh. I mean, God's not, he's willing to work with us even in our sinful state.
That's right.
Praise
so, Peyton Manning says, my faith doesn't make me perfect. It makes me forgiven and provides me the assurance I looked for half my life ago.
Wow.
I think God answered our prayers with Cooper. That's got to be their
little brother. Yeah.
A little brother, sorry. And that was a test of our faith. But I also think I've been blessed, having so little go wrong in my life and being given so much. I pray every night, sometimes long prayers, about a lot of things and a lot of people. But I don't talk about it because it's between God and me. And I'm no better than anybody else in God's sight. But then Doug, you know, he talks about being fortunate to be able to go to God for guidance.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do things that displease God before he gets to heaven. But he says that I really like this. He says he talks about praying in football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he says, do I pray for victory? No.
Okay.
Except as a generic thing. I pray to keep both teams injury free and personally that I use whatever talent I have to the best of my ability. But I don't think God really cares about who wins football games. I love that.
Yeah, that's.
Remember Sully Sullenberger, the pilot who landed on the Hudson?
Yeah.
And everybody said it was a miracle.
Everyone said that.
Yeah, and that day or the next day we did the show, we said it was not a miracle.
No.
No.
It was not.
A miracle would be if the plane came straight down and hit the runway and everybody lived.
Right. It didn't burst into flames and
like
everybody
at
got a free
1,800 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would have been a miracle.
Maybe the plane is like practically vaporized.
Yeah.
And everybody's standing there with their carry-on luggage.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's a miracle.
That would be a miracle.
Yeah, but it's not a miracle. And Sully, the pilot, said it was not a miracle.
No, it was hard work on his part.
Yeah, it's not a miracle. miracles, biblical miracles, are when unbelievers say that was a miracle.
That's right. There's no denying it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a biblical miracle. Today we have like, oh, my headache went away. It was a miracle. And my car started on the third try. It was a miracle. It's like, come on. Anyway, so Peyton says, I don't pray. I don't think God really cares who wins football games. He said, if we're playing the, let's say now they're
let's
playing.
Let's say they're playing the Washington Blackhawks.
The Seahawks.
Seahawks.
And he said, I prayed for the Broncos to win, and Russell Wilson is praying for the Seahawks to win. Yeah. He writes, wouldn't that make it a standoff? And what a good point. I love that. So that's real neat for Peyton Manning. So in the Super Bowl, we have two Christians facing each other.
Well, that's right, because Russell Wilson, did he make that name up? Did he just take that off, one off his pants and one off his shirt?
Like
Russell
Ayn Rand?
You remember Russell shorts in sport? Russell?
Yeah.
And then Wilson t-shirts?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a nom de plume. Anyway, he's a Christian too. He was spotted praying recently in public.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he get arrested?
No, him and half the Seahawks offensive line or something had a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
And it was reported on widely. I heard about it.
Yeah, cool.
So it's a toss-up.
Praise the Lord.
And so I don't think God cares who wins the football game. He certainly doesn't influence, but there was a poll. Some plurality of people believe God is involved in sporting events.
Right.
Because they just really don't understand who God is. They think he's a magician.
Now, God has created us, and he's given us the ability to excel or to fail. Mm-hmm. To give us the ability to love, he had to give us the ability to hate. So he's given us this deep range of, you know, possible actions and thoughts.
Right.
And so whether we use them to glorify God or not, that God is very concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if and when Peyton Manning wins this Super Bowl, we can say glory to God because God was involved in that.
Sure.
God was involved in Peyton Manning's life.
And he'll thank God.
He'll thank God.
If he wins.
Yeah.
And hopefully if he loses.
And even if he loses.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity. And it's sad I have to pay New Jersey so much.
Can you help?
But
with
thank
his
you,
tax
Lord.
Bill? Yeah. He'll praise the Lord either way because Peyton seems like just a solid Christian.
We could take up a fund.
Maybe we'll have to
pay
start
Peyton's excess over 100%.
That 1%? We'll try to help Peyton with that.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Hey, we could get him to come to our church.
But he'd have to lose for that?
He has to lose to get the 101%
to get taxed over 100%.
Yeah, but we'd still invite him to the church even if he lost, and we'd help. We'd have a fundraiser for Peyton
if he lost.
Oh yeah,
at Denver Bible Church.
We would.
Why don't we just pay that tax out of our regular collection?
There we go, out of the general fund for Peyton. All right, should be fun, folks.
All right, congratulations, Joe Scott, Tony Massey. Thank you, Doug McBurney, and KGov.com. God bless you guys.